A quick review, if you haven't been with us, we started out in January talking about our purpose, our vision, and our mission. And we know there's many purpose statements, vision statements, and on we can get so caught up in the statement we forget to do what it says. But what is our purpose in 2018 as a body of Christ? What's the purpose, your individual purpose and your family's purpose for 2018? We read a lot of scripture, and we read these two over and over, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, that God said, I want you, first and foremost, to love me with all your heart and your soul and your mind. And if we stop right there, and we repeat that, and you've heard it a lot, but we must evaluate our lives. Am I fulfilling what God's telling me to do? I want you, Ron, and all of your names in the blank, to love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. The second thing we focused on was the Great Commission. Listen, I want you to take this glorious gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ, and I want you to spread it all around you, where you're at locally, in your state, in your community, all the way in the nation and around to the othermost parts of the world, that people can hear the good news of Jesus' saving grace. So, okay, purpose, a mission, vision, what will help me stay on purpose for myself, for my family, for this church body, to do what God would call us to do? What will help me? Last week we passed out a little card, and on that card you saw some photos of people throughout the church, and it starts off that prayer must be a priority. Discipleship is definite, evangelism is essential, fellowship's fundamental, and missions is our mandate. You've seen that for a long time on the screen when you come in early and you're looking at announcements. I don't see it, but I trust that you see it. So it's not a new term for us. We can rattle those terms off, but it's got to be done. The work must be done. Prayer must be a priority. And you say, that's got a nice little ring to it in church. And amen, brother, I believe what you're saying. But if we do not go out of this place and actually make prayer a priority, we're missing the whole point. Prayer must be a priority to bring life, to bring the anointing of God to me as an individual, a family, or a church body. Prayer must be a priority. Luke 11, 1 through 4 on the screen says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So we see the scripture here in Luke 11, 1 through 4. And there's many little catchy phrases about prayer that we've heard all of our Christian life. But the fact again is, not do we know the phrases, are we doing what the phrases say? Will we make prayer a priority in our lives? I pray we will, because it's really the power that unlocks God in our life, is praying to Him. You've heard the phrase, prayer changes things, and it does. Again, nice little phrase, but do we do it? Well, let's talk about the positions of prayer, the purpose of prayer, the plan of prayer, the power of prayer. That's all good to talk about. That's all good to learn about. But people and churches will spend days and days and weeks talking about the position of prayer and the power of prayer, and yet do not pray. And you look at me like, well, I'm praying. I'm glad you're praying. But do we pray to see the miraculous? Have we come accustomed to the media's viewpoint? Have we come accustomed to what people say about the Christian world, the church in America, and on, study after study? Well, we do read those. We need to see some of those, quote, facts. But I submit to you that any church that will make prayer a priority will see the power of God released some way, some form, some way, some fashion, if we truly make prayer a priority. So, is prayer a priority in your life? In your life, answer it for you, then answer it for your family. When's the last time you prayed with your family? Well, they're scattered everywhere. Okay, I got that. It's not like when our kids were small, we gathered them up in the living room and we had prayer together, and I dare you to sneeze. You're going to be here till we get through. Those days are long over and gone. But are you praying with your family, for your family? I pray that you are, because there's so much to be gained. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Well, do we not know how to pray? Well, maybe some are learning to pray. Maybe we need some instruction on prayer. But I think we know more than we do. We know how to pray. We just need to pray. We need to be involved in that. And it's not so much like the disciples here, teach us to pray. Well, is there a right way? Is there a wrong way? And I'm sure we could say yes and no and make an argument for that. But the thing about it is, we want to pray with a pure heart. We want to go back to that purpose of loving God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. And if we're doing that and we're witnessing and we're spreading the gospel around to people about us, and throughout the world, then God sees that heart, and the passion we have will be released as the power of God's released to us through what? Through prayer and asking God to lead us. It might be like the man who invited his boss over for Sunday dinner, and it was a hot July day, and the air conditioner went out. And they got gathered around the table, and the father said to the little 12-year-old boy, said, "Would you just go ahead and pray?" And the little boy said, I don't know what to say. He said, "Just say it like I say it." The little boy said, "Let's pray." And he said, "Lord, why in the world we invite all these people over here on a hot day to our house? Amen." Is that the right prayer or the wrong prayer? Probably the wrong prayer. He just said what Dad had been saying. Here we are in life, and we can rejoice in so many good things. There's some sorrows in people's life that we know about too, but prayer is so needed. It's not overcoming God's reluctance to give us this or give us that. And here, as human beings, we pull, we plead, we beg, we do all these different things for God. Just change your mind on this. Just give me what I want. It's like we make God out to be a glorified Santa Claus, and He is not. He is God Almighty, who is holy. So prayer's not just a wish list for us to hand off to God, but to do His will. On Wednesday night, a few Wednesday nights ago, John Piper, we were watching The Passion, and we'll finish that up this Wednesday. I hope you'll come eat with us and hear the end of that Wednesday night. But John Piper said these words, or close to these words, "Are we delighting in God or His blessings? Are we delighting in God Himself as Christian people, or are we delighting in His blessings?" And of course, he went to Job and he told us the story, and Job lost everything. You know that story probably. But Job yet served God. And are we delighting in God or just His blessings? So we've got to check ourselves like that too. Are we doing the will of God and delighting in Him? Overweight businessman was going on a diet, And he said he is getting serious about losing some weight and all that. And he even took a different route to work. And he passed the bakery every day. And he had been doing so good. And the people in the office were telling him how good he was. Well, one day he walked in. He had a big old coffee cake and a box of donuts. And the staff said, What in the world you've been doing so good? What are you doing? He said, I'm eating these donuts and this coffee cake because it is the will of God. And they said, the will of God. Said, yeah, I prayed and said, God, if it's your will that I have coffee, cake, and donuts this morning, let there be a parking place right in front of the bakery when I drive past. And he said, you know what? The 10th time I went around the block, there that parking place was. Oh, mercy. Well, I don't know about that prayer, but I know we need to pray for the will of God and pray for this church and the church in America that we truly will be a praying church. And I'm not down on people. I'm not standing here saying, listen, you bunch, you're not praying like you ought to pray. I'm not accusing you of that. I'm not saying, you know, this, that, or the other, but I am saying if the shoe fits, wear it. I am saying for the preacher and the leaders and the people who come to church and all of us that we must make prayer a priority to see the greater things of God. That's never changed. This message will preach forever and forever and forever till Jesus comes home again, because it is what unlocks the power of God, and we need to make it a priority. You know what? Your children need it. You say, well, all these little babies, 8 or 9 babies last year born here and the church, and about 5 on the way this year and all that. We sure need to be praying for them little babies. That's right. We do. Well, my little baby's 20 years old, the youngest of them. I sure need to be praying. Well, my grandson or whatever, or my whatever, you know, hey, my grandchildren are 40 now. What's that mean? They all need prayer. We all need it. Our families need it. Our country needs it. Can we not see it? Yes, we see it. I believe the redeemed people of God see it, but then I also believe the devil comes against it. And you use that word devil, you use that word Satan, you use that word sin, and people say, ooh, that's going to offend somebody this day and time. Preachers can't preach like that anymore. And then we get in some kind of stupor listening to the idiots of the world when we, the church, the redeemed people of God, need to be praying like we've never prayed before. So that's me and that's you. That's us. And we really need that revival. We need that here. We need that across our land. And the only way I know to get it is to make prayer a priority. And pray, as the old saint said, till we pray what? Through, they would say. I'm going to pray till I pray through. Till I get an answer from heaven. Well, why pray? That's the next slide. Why pray? Because Jesus Christ is our example, and He prayed. If the Son of God, God Himself in human flesh, needed to pray, we need to pray. He'd pray all night long. When's the last time I've prayed all night long? It's been a long time since I prayed all night long. Jesus did. He prayed for the power of His Father in heaven, and He received it. And look what He did and the miracles and all that he was doing. See, the disciples, they didn't say, teach us to preach the best sermon on earth. He said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, because He knew that if He could teach them to pray, the heart's right. We're loving God with all of our heart, soul, and our mind. We're spreading the gospel. And He says, teach us to pray, then God would equip the preacher to preach. God will equip the saint to witness if we're praying over things like that. Well, Jesus did. He was building the whole structure of the church. And He prayed. We need to pray. Why pray? First choice, last chance. A lot of people say, well, I've tried everything else, I'll pray now. No, it needs to be first choice, not last chance. When everything else fails, well, maybe I ought to pray about it. No, pray first. So we'll stay on focus and be what God wants us to be. First choice. Prayer is to be first choice. You remember Abraham, Sarah? They got a few years on them, 195 or something like that. They prayed, and guess what? They believed, and they had a son at that old age. You need a miracle today? Is God still in the miracle business? Yes, He is. You need one? Pray and trust the Lord. Moses prayed, and what happened? God parted the Red Sea. He prayed, He parted the Red Sea. God did. Joshua, he prayed, and the sun stood still. You say, well, maybe I need to pray like that. Hannah prayed, and her son led to Israel. Daniel, you know his many stories. He prayed, and guess what? The lion shut their mouth. And you say, well, but this is 2018, and the news said, and the whatever said. Who cares? This, when you get right down to it, who cares? You say, preacher, you're out of tune. You're awful this morning. Maybe I am, but really, who cares? Because I serve a God who says, I want you to love me with all your heart and your soul and your mind. I want you to spread the gospel. I want you to be on purpose. I want you to be on vision. I want you to be on mission. And I don't care what everybody else says, that God is still God upon His throne. Jesus is still at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. There's still power in the Holy Spirit, and people can still get saved. Churches can be revived, and the gospel can go forward, and God can get the glory for it. Well, the day and time we live in, you know, it's bad. There are a lot of old sinners out there. There are a lot of old whatever. Okay. You go back here and read the Old Testament, there's a lot of the same thing going on then. Well, Jesus is coming back. Now, he's coming back right now, too. He'll be here next week. The fact of it is, Jesus is coming back. Now, when He's coming back, you do not know, and I do not know, but we do know what God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit told us the church to do until He comes. We know what we're supposed to do. Now, the question is, again, just like prayer, are we going to do it? Are we all going to do it? Are we all going to come together and be involved? Are we all going to be in worship? Are we all going to move together in the spirit of unity to accomplish the very purpose and mission and vision God has for us? Or will we do something else? Jeremiah 33 on the screen, verse 3. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. This is good stuff. You think you know everything? Well, you know better and I know better. We're past our 20s, and when we thought we knew everything, and now we realize we didn't know everything, and the older we get, we realize we still don't know everything. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you don't know. Who's going to tell us? The Spirit of God. Jesus Christ. Do you need some great things? Do you need some mighty things in your life? Yes, we all do. So Jesus says, I want you to call out to me. I want you to call out to me and I'm going to answer you and I'll show you great and unsearchable things. We know it to be truth. We know it's in the Bible. We know it's the inspired Word of God. We believe the Bible's the absolute truth, but yet we believe what Fox News says over what the Word says. Didn't get any amens on that one. If I said ABC, would you say amen? Oh, goodness. Well, my life's this. My life's that. I'm on top of the mountain today. Oh, I'm in the lowest valley. We need prayer no matter what place we're at. Life's falling apart. If you only knew my marriage, if you only knew my health, if you only knew my finances. God is not intimidated by any of it. God is not intimidated by cancer, even though it's a way of death and it takes people away from us. And we honor Ray and his family today, and we all know that cancer, Ray was a victim, if you will, of cancer. God's not afraid of cancer. God's not intimidated by the economy. God is God. And we need to see Him as God. And we need to call upon Him and let Him show us things we've never seen before. He understands you. And He understands me. And He loves us. Ray knew what cancer was. This family knows all about it, and many of you have went through a similar experience. And we know that we're all going to die one day. We don't know if it'll be cancer that'll get us. We don't know if it'll be a car accident. We don't know. But God told us that we wouldn't live forever. He told us that we're going to leave here. Even if we live 100 years or what have you, we're going to leave here. And we will stand accountable for our life before God and how we lived. And if we're saved by the blood of Jesus and we've asked Him to forgive us of our sin and we've turned from sin and we're His disciple and we're living for Him, He said, guess what? You don't have to worry. You don't have to let your heart be troubled because I'm preparing a place for you. And if I prepare that place for you, I'll come and get you. I'll take you there. And that's the hope that we have. Without Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, when death comes, there's a place called hell that the people who refuse to bow the knee, refuse to ask for forgiveness of sin, refuse to accept Jesus, will spend all of eternity in. And we don't want anybody to go there. Neither does Jesus. Neither does Jesus. And He said, it's my will that none, zero, zero, none perish, but all have eternal life. Why pray? Lost people around you. Why pray? Your family. Why pray? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why pray? Because you need it and I need it. Why pray? The next slide says it's a necessity. It's a necessity that we do. And pray without ceasing, the Bible says. How will some of these things be changed? I don't know if you read some of the things that the black gentleman who ran for president, is it Ben? Ben Carson. You ever read some of the things he writes in different places? They're pretty good to me. You've got your own opinion of that, and I'm not trying to tell you all that, but I'm just saying he says some really good things. And the other day, I can't quote it exactly, but he was saying Jesus Christ is still the answer for our world. Jesus Christ is still the answer for our world. Well, you say, yes, I agree with that, and amen. And yes, Jesus is the answer for our world. But you mean to tell me I've got to quit watching NCIS long enough to pray for it? You mean to tell me I've got to skip one golf game and spend that time in prayer? You mean I've got to stop being on Facebook this long or doing my favorite hobby this long or doing this or that or the other or something I really enjoy? I've got to stop this, that for an hour maybe and spend it before God in prayer for my neighbor to be saved? Well, you got to be kidding me. I'm here to enjoy life. God said He wanted me to have a good life and He wanted me to have an abundant life. I don't have time to pray. Now let's straighten that mess I just set out. God said, yes, I'm going to give you life. I'm going to forgive you. Yes, I'm going to give you life and even the more abundant life in Jesus. And yes, I want you to enjoy life. And I believe God says, listen, I've created this world, and here you're redeemed, you're mine. I want you to enjoy the beauties of the mountains. I want you to enjoy the ocean. I want you to enjoy all of life. Yes, enjoy it. I created it for you. But don't forget your purpose. Don't forget that I said, I want you to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and your soul and your mind. And I want you to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Purpose and vision and mission. And don't lose that. Don't lose that. Because that's what I'm all about. And to keep us in line to be able to do what He's called us to do, prayer must be a priority. I've tried it both ways, folks. And I'd say some of you have too. If prayer's not a priority, I don't have a leg to stand on. That's just the bottom line. No anointing, no power, no burden for the lost, no care or compassion for people. If I'm not in prayer, if I'm not reminded what the Word of God says, if I'm not reading the Word that it comes to me and it convicts me or it shows me what to do, if the Word is not there, and if I'm not communicating with my Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit through prayer, I'm here to tell you, you can get lukewarm, you can get dull, you can just get out of the ball game. True or false? True. So we're going to make prayer a priority. The next slide says, prayers to the soul, what breath is to the body. Prayers to the soul, what breath is to the body. You've heard that all your life. You've heard me preach that before. I think one time I said, just hold your breath. Take you a deep breath and just hold it. You'll need another one. You will need another one. You will need prayer tomorrow, just like you need it today, for me. And this is not about me, but I need prayer today. And I need prayer tomorrow and every day of my life. So do you. But we must pray for ourselves. But Jesus says, wait a minute. It's not about you. Society says it's about you. Every ad on TV, the internet, they ever pop up or whatever you call all this stuff we see all the time, it says it's about you. You read the Word of God, that's why you got to be in the book, and it says it's not about you. It's about Jesus, and it's about other people. Now go serve. Go be a part of a community serving God and serving other people. Not about you. Well, that's not what the commercial said. But it's what God said in His Word. So let's make prayer a priority, like breath is to the body. The next slide says, why pray? Powerful God can't answer until you ask. How many times in your life, in my life, have I said or you said, thought, you know what? And it don't have to be a new year, but just a new time in our life spiritually would say, you know, I'm going to make prayer a priority. I've kind of slid back a little bit, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. And what experiences have you had when you make that decision in your heart and your mind? Some of the experiences I've had is that when I get to going here and I say, okay, Lord, here I come, me and you. And my mind, what little I've got, pew, 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 pew. It's so quiet. And you say, preacher, you've lost what little mind you have. Your mind goes different places. I'm going to pray. I need to go get a gallon of milk, loaf of bread, and Mama said if she didn't get some Diet 7-Up, that she was going to skin my head. I'm supposed to be praying. And I hear Mama's voice, I want some Diet 7-Up. Get to the store and get me some. Lord, I'm trying to pray here. Go get Diet 7-Up. You're supposed to go to the hospital to see brother or sister so-and-so. Now, I might have lost it, but I would just bet, if I was a betting man and I'm not, that you experienced something similar or some degree of that too sometimes. And it's like, where did that come from? I'm making prayer a priority. I want to see somebody saved. I want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Get them Diet 7-Up, your mom's going to be mad. Where did that come from? So what I'm saying to you, make prayer a priority. You can, we must, but Satan himself, we can't forget that there's a real devil. He knows that when the people of God truly pray, he knows that when that happens, that God's going to do something, so he will try to hinder our prayer life. True or false? It is true. The devil has a plan for that too. He will try to hinder our prayer life as an individual, a family, a church body, or whatever, so he can accomplish what he wants to accomplish. So, how about it? Need a miracle today? Need some help from God today? I always do. You probably do in some area of life. You want to see God's power released in a greater way in just your life? I'd like to see God's power released in my life more than it is today. Well, I'd like to see this happen in my family on the spiritual level of this son-in-law or this daughter-in-law or this boyfriend or this daughter or this son or whatever. I'd like to see these things spiritually happen in their life. Well, I just hope it happens. No, you pray it into being. You pray to the Lord for help and protection, and you plead the blood of Jesus Christ over them day in and day out. What do you need? What do you want to see in the church? What kind of miracles do we need? How do we want God to move? Well, God, we're not trying to tell you how to move. We just want you to move and leave that up to Him. But we before Him in a regular basis, and He knows that the heart of your heart